Acts chapter number 6. You can stand with me if you would, please, if you're able to. If you're not, that's fine. Reverence to the Word of God. Verse number 1 said, In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Take your Bibles now and turn over to the book of Acts chapter number 7, and I'll begin reading in verse 54. The Bible said when they heard these things, and just to fill you in case you don't know, what it's making reference to is the sermon that Stephen had just preached. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, Brother Brian, ain't it good that he finishes just like he started? Wouldn't it be good, brother, if we could finish just like we started? But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. As far as I know, this is the only time in the Bible that you see Jesus standing on God's right hand. He's always sitting at the right hand of the Father. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You can be seated. Pray with us a moment. Father, I thank you for the wonderful choir singing, the wonderful special, the wonderful time we had in the prayer room, our Sunday school teachers that study every week, our Father, to bring the lesson. Now, Lord, we're going to need some help this morning. God, I pray you'd open the windows of heaven and come down among us and help us. God, we need help in our country. Lord, we sure do. Lord, our problem is spiritual. And I pray, Lord, you'd help those that know you to take their stand in these days like Stephen did. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I just penned these things down a little while ago. This wasn't going to be part of the message, but I believe God put this message on my heart as a result of the recent events this week. When you think about how Stephen left this world, it was actually a whole lot rougher than the way Charlie Kirk left this world. I think Charlie left just about instantly. I told my wife, I never saw the video and I don't want to see it, but when I heard it described, I said, honey, it was probably a 270 or a 30-06. I'm very, very familiar with high-powered rifles. And the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I was so encouraged to hear a young lady on one of the newscasts that understands the gospel and the things of God to say, we need to stop saying that Charlie's dead. She said, Charlie's in the presence of the Lord. I'm sure this crowd thought that Stephen was dead. Jesus stood up and welcomed him home. Amen. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As I begin to think about it a while ago, and I have studied, I've prayed, and I'm going to show you some things this morning, three simple things about Stephen's life. But I begin to look at the parallels between Stephen and the Bible, one of the first deacons, and Charlie Kirk, the man that founded Turning Point Ministries, or Turning Point USA in America. And I want to say this, I don't want to take away from Turning Point, but your pastor believes that our nation is at a tipping point. You can say whatever you want to, folks, but the reaction to what happened this week was very different. They were praying instead of rioting. Amen. Righteousness reacts in one way and unrighteousness reacts in another way. Let me show you some parallels. This is just some things I'm going to run through these because I think you ought to understand this is why God put this on my heart. Friday evening I told my daughter Elizabeth, aka Boo, that's what we call her, Boo. I told Boo, I said, honey, God's put it on my heart to preach on Stephen. And God is my witness. She looked at me and said, Daddy, it's all over the internet. They're drawing parallels between Stephen. And I said, well, I didn't know that, honey, but I know what God put in my heart. And what she told me didn't change anything. Amen. But listen to some of these parallels I just pinned down a while ago. They were both of unashamed of the Lord Jesus and His gospel. Unashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Charlie's wife posted on X just briefly before he was killed, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Guess what, beloved? He's a very present help this morning. He'll help you. Both of these men had a tremendous knowledge of the Scripture. They weren't just flying by the seat of their pants. Amen. There was a book and they believed that book. Stephen was sharing what he knew of the Old Testament. He met those people where they were. They knew the Word of God. You listen to me, but they did not know the God of the Word. If you'll study your Bible, you'll find out the devil knows the Word of God. He's forever twisting it. Amen. But he don't know the God of the Word. Both realized that the fight was worth it. This is what the Bible said. I didn't want to misquote it, so I pinned it down the bottom of my... We wrestle not against flesh and blood. God gave me something in this verse I never seen, Brother Jason. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah. You know what we've got in America? We've got a bunch of preachers with lace on their bloomers that won't stand against anything. The word against, Brother Brian, jumped out at me over and over and over and over. And Charlie Kirk was hated because he stood against some things. Stephen was hated because he stood against some things. You won't ever have to worry about Smiley in Texas being hated because he stands against nothing. That's not in his lane. They both dealt with false witnesses. They go back and grab... it's in the Bible here about Stephen, but they go back and grab clips and take stuff out of context. didn't even listen to the entire I think they did listen to it. They just grabbed what they wanted. I mean, if I was to say to someone this morning, my wife left me and she went to the grocery store to get us some groceries, she'll be back after a while, and you just stop on my wife left me. That changes everything. Will somebody say amen? And let me tell you something. They know what they're doing. I'm going to tell you something right now. If I go down, and one day I will, I want to go down standing. If you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Both men were full of faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Both men were hated by unbelievers. And both men woke up in the presence of the Lord. Let me give you this. My goodness, it's 10 minutes till 12. Don't worry about that. Okay, I won't worry about that then. Brother Jason is not my elder, but he said, don't worry about that, so I won't. Let me give you something. When they crucified Jesus, did they not think that they could just kill this message and kill this messenger? It ain't too long, brother. Chris, there's 120 gathered in an upper room and praying, and God comes down. Peter gets up a preaching, and 3,000 get saved. And it ain't long after that, 5,000 get saved. That's all happened before Stephen. And they thought they could kill the message. Now, I'm going to say this morning. In Jackson School, they came in the other day, I think at a football game, right? And they're getting a chapter started of Turning Point USA in this high school. I'm going to tell you what every young person in this building that loves Jesus ought to see what you can do to get it started in your high school. People need to be taught. Amen. It's time to quit hiding. Oh, I remember. Amen, Brother Connor. I remember in high school there was five that would gather around the flagpole, sometimes six, every morning before school. And that when I walked by them, something bothered me. I knew they had something I didn't have. Amen. They'd hold hands and pray. Maybe one of them called Rick Vannoy's name. And they don't even know today what Rick Vannoy's doing. But God knows. And He answered their prayer. Introduction, let's get into the message. Three things this morning. Stephen, first of all, the man. In Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 5 and verse number 8, you find that Stephen was a man full of faith. Full of faith. I like the song that they sang a while ago. I've never doubted that I was saved, and I've never doubted that God called me to preach, but there's a bunch of other things I've doubted. But you know what faith does to doubt? It waves bye-bye. There just ain't room for faith and doubt in the same bosom. One of the others got to go. Amen. And so Stephen was a man full of faith. And without it, we can't please God. Stephen was a wise man in verse number 10. Look in chapter 6, verse number 10. The Bible said, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Is that not the same of Charlie? Amen. They couldn't resist it, so they killed him. Or they thought they did. He was a wise man. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. That's what we need to teach our young people. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Most young people today, all they're interested in is getting the things of this world. You know why? Because that's what most older people are interested in. But the Bible teaches us to get wisdom. To get wisdom, it's important. They could not resist that wisdom. They both, look in verse number 13, the Bible said in verse 13 of chapter number 6, and they set up false witnesses which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. He was a man that was living among false witnesses. And then in verse number 15, I want you to see this. I think this is very important. And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him, that means they weren't glancing. They weren't glancing over there. But they had their eyes locked on him. And I believe there's something going on here similar to what went on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's got so much God on him, he's shining. You say that can't help happen to a man. It did to Moses. The Word of God said right here, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him, they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Think about that. Man, I tell you something. Listen to me. If you don't hear nothing else I say this morning, here's what we need in America. There's a whole bunch of people in America that's got God in them that don't have God on them. Did y'all hear what I said? A whole lot. One little boy had a dog. Guy walked up. He said, man, what kind of dog is that? He said, it's a police dog, mister. It's just a mutt. He said, man, it don't look like a police dog. That little boy said he's in the Secret Service. That's where a lot of God's people are. On the job, in the school, in the home. They're in the Secret Service. We need some people.
Come on, preacher.
Yeah. Put on the badge. Wave the bloodstained banner.
Amen.
And tell a lost and dying world, Jesus saves.
Amen.
Jesus saves.
Amen.
Let me give you something that's sobering. Jesus said, you ashamed of me? I'll be ashamed of you. That's sobering. Brother Preston, I don't want him ashamed of me. I'm not ashamed of my wife. I'm not ashamed of my family. I'm not ashamed of this book. I'm not ashamed of my church. I'm not ashamed, my friend, of the Lord that saved me. Stephen, the man. Secondly, Stephen, the message. I want you to look at the message. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I just had a couple of things, the characters in Stephen's message. In this chapter 7, and by the way, it's historically accurate. It's Old Testament. Why? Because that's all they had. The New Testament hadn't been lived out. It hadn't been written yet. All they had was the Old Testament. And let me give you something right here in dealing with lost people. This will help you. Stephen understands that he's dealing with lost people. Brother Jason, he met them where they were.
Amen.
He met them right where they were. Do you understand some of these people they talked about? Beloved, these people that stoned Stephen, they thought the sun rose and set in them. There's people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph. Pharaoh's mentioned in the fact that it says the king that knew not Joseph. Moses is mentioned. By the way, look at chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible said in chapter 6, verse 14, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered. Well, guess what? Jesus had already said over there in the book of John, chapter number 1, the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. There's a place for the law. It's the law that brings us under conviction. It's the law that shows us our need of a Savior. But no one has ever been saved by the law. The law proves us guilty so we can run to the Calvary that they sang about and find forgiveness. You find Aaron, that calf. You find Joshua in verse number 45 of chapter 7. It's spelled Jesus, but it's talking about Joshua. You find David, and you find Solomon. Isn't it a blessing, amen, to know that Stephen, he honored the characters in that Old Testament, amen. That over and over and over, the Word of God would say in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Isaac. By faith, David. By faith, Abel. Over and over and over. Then I want you to see, this is probably the most important thing. Look at chapter number 7 and verse number 47 down through verse number 54. I want you to see the conviction in Stephen's message. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. I believe that's one of the things that's missing today. Stephen's message wrought great conviction in the hearts of the hearers. I used to think, I'm not going to spend a lot of time right here, but only he that now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. And I used to think, okay, it's going to go on, and then one day the Holy Spirit and the church is taken out of the world. You understand what I mean? I'm talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. But you know what I believe is going on? I believe there's a slow withdrawing. I believe that's why things go on church property. Amen. People have no respect for the house of God. They have no respect for the Word of God. They have no respect for the man of God. The Holy Spirit of God I believe in America, God said, you don't want me? I'll go to Africa where they do want me. Amen. Let's look at the conviction. There's a couple of things I want you to see right here. I want you to see the confrontation. Look in verse number 51 here. He said, ye. Hey, I don't believe, Brother Jason, that Herod was wondering who John the Baptist was talking to. Amen. He pointed that finger right up his nose and said, you. Amen. It ain't lawful to have your brother's wife. Ye. You say, Pastor, why did the confrontation come? Because it was personal. Ye. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. A lot of people don't know this in the Bible, but it's in the Bible. It says this, open rebuke is better than secret love. Let me tell you something. You say, Pastor, you got any Scripture to back that up? Yeah, I just remember Nathan when he came to David. Nathan loved David, but Nathan confronted him with his sin. If you love your children, you're going to confront them when they're wrong. And by the way, you ain't going to confront everybody else. I love the song that said, go and tell Jesus on me. When my faults and failures, you see, if you are my brother, don't go tell another. Go and tell Jesus on me. I'll sing that one day in heaven. We see the confrontation. Then we see their condition. What was their condition? Look at the Bible said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. The Old Testament, Exodus 32:9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Some things hadn't changed. They still had that stiff neck. Jeremiah 9:26, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. And using these two phrases together, Deuteronomy 10:16 said, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. Almost 20 times in the Old Testament, God calls Israel stiff-necked. I've heard people say before, I've said to people before, I've actually told them, right up front, you're hard-headed. But then I back that up with something. I'd rather be hard-headed than hard-hearted.
Yeah.
These people were hard-hearted, stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart. Israel prided itself on the sign of circumcision because it separated them from the Gentiles. And Stephen is essentially saying, you are just like the Gentiles in your rejection of the Lord. It brought conviction. We see the condition. And then we see the clarity. In the second part of verse 51, the Bible said here, as your fathers did, so do ye. When God gave me that, the Bible said, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one. Stephen is essentially saying, I'm no different than them. You killed them, you're probably going to kill me, but I'm going to tell you the truth while I'm here. The prophets in the Old Testament were not pointing to Moses and the law. They were pointing to Calvary and the Lamb.
Amen.
He said here, which of the prophets have you not, your fathers not persecuted? And they have slain them which show before the coming of the just one, and of whom you have now been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. That's what they prided themselves in. I'm going to tell you something right now. Law Moses, law Jesus, either one. Ain't nobody ever kept it except Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You're right.
He's only one. If you think you're going to get to heaven by keeping the law, you're sadly mistaken. The law is our schoolmaster to point us to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And then I want to look lastly in the message. We've looked at Stephen, the man. Stephen, the message. On that clarity, I'd like to quote something my dad said, Brother Dale. He'd say, son, plain English is easily understood. I can picture this outfit, Brother Brian. They're not scratching their head saying, wonder what he said. Oh, they know exactly what he said. Amen. If you're looking for a pastor that's got them words, you have to have a wheelbarrow to haul them around in. You better look somewhere else. I don't know none of them. Amen. I can't even hardly pronounce George. Amen. Let alone the Bible names. Let's look at Stephen, the meeting. Just a couple of things about the meeting. It was a hostile meeting. In verse number 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They're getting an early start on hell. That's what goes on in hell. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're grinding their teeth. Look at chapter 6 and verse number 12. The Bible said they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. The parallels are unbelievable between what Stephen is experiencing and what went on this week. I'm telling you, beloved, even after this man was killed this week, people are saying some of the most ungodly. There is no fear of God before their eyes. My prayer is that God's people will not shut up, but God's people will stand up. My prayer is that the high school, the job, the community where you live, that God's people, I'm not talking about being arrogant, But brothers and sisters, Stephen had a boldness about him. There's a difference between boldness and arrogance. Boldness is humility in action. It's not exalting yourself, but exalting your Savior.
Amen.
It's a hostile meeting. Look at the Bible said here, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly to heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Look at verse 57. I'll come back to that in a moment. Look at verse 57. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. I didn't know this till I studied this time. That ran at him, it's the ancient Greek word hormeo. It's the same word to describe. How many remembers when those hogs ran down violently into the sea? You remember that? That's the same word. They're running like a bunch of hogs down on Stephen, violently upon Stephen. Think about that. Gnashing with their teeth. Can't wait to get him. Stephen was stoned. They cast him out of the city, the Bible said, and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet. His name was Saul. I didn't know this either. I found out that a second century Jewish writing, it described the practice of stoning. It's probably pretty accurate. When the trial is finished, the man convicted is brought out to be stoned. When 10 cubits from the place of stoning, they say to him, confess. For it is the custom of all about to be put to death to make confession. And everyone who confesses has a share in the age to come. 4 cubits from the place of stoning, the criminals stripped. They drop. The drop from the place of stoning was twice the height of a man. So it looks like there's a place where you're like pushing him off in a pit. If I'm 6 foot, then the pit's 12 foot deep. This is what he said. One of the witnesses pushes the criminal from behind so that he falls face down. He is then turned over on his back. If he dies from the fall, that's sufficient. If not, a second witness takes the stone and drops it on his heart. If this causes death, that's sufficient. If not, he's stoned by all the congregation of Israel. This is written in Jewish history. Not written in the Word of God, but I thought it was interesting. When we say stoning, we may not have any idea what it meant to be stoned back in that day. But I want you to know it was violent. It was hostile. This was a hostile crowd. It was a hostile meeting. But here's where I'm going to finish this morning. It was an honorable meeting. In all of my life, I have never thought about this. But Jesus honored Stephen's prayer. Go to 1 Timothy there, brother. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Where did they lay their garments when they stoned Stephen? At somebody's feet. Let me see your Bible a minute, brother. Oh boy, that's even a Schofield, brother, ain't it? Amen, I like that. I know where to look on the page. That's the reason I'm saying that. Jesus honored his prayer. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I never had thought about that before. I just thought it was, you know, a good prayer, leaving here in the grace of God to go see Jesus. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. He said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief.
Yes, sir.
God answered Stephen's prayer.
Amen.
So God don't lay that sin, old Saul. He's just going to change him. How much Bible would we be missing without Stephen's prayer? Church doctrine. What would we be missing without Stephen's prayer? He honored his prayer. And then he honored him with his presence. Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like to see Jesus? I'm looking so forward to seeing my dad again.
Amen.
When I see my dad again, he won't be spitting up blood because he's got cancer in his lungs. I'm looking so forward to seeing him again, to seeing my mama. There's so many I'm looking forward to seeing. I was telling Brother Billy this morning about Brother Fred's last joke he told me before he went to heaven. Brother Fred was our song leader, Brother Dale, and he had a bad hip. He carried his hip up here. Old Brother Fred, he come in one morning, he said, preacher said, guy come in, and said, he walked up to another fellow and said, that's my seat. I'll have you know, that's my seat. So he got up and moved. Said another one come in and said, I'll have you know, that's my seat. He got up and moved again. He sat somewhere where there was a seat open behind of him. The third guy come in and said, is that seat saved? The fellow looked at him and said, as far as I know, it ain't even under conviction. I can't wait to see Brother Fred again, Brother John. That man never one time in my life did anything except encourage me. He was a Barnabas with the biggest B you could find. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. Jesus honored him with his presence. And then Jesus honored him with his peace. Look at verse 59 and 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You look at the similarities between there and Calvary. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. There is a difference. Stephen's losing his life at the hand of others. Jesus gave his life. Amen.
Amen.
He honored him with his peace. The Bible said, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down. And he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said that, Jesus rocked him to sleep so he could wake up in the very presence of the Lord. You know, this is what I want to close with this morning. It was a hostile meeting. It was an honorable meeting. But it was a hopeful meeting. Stephen died with the hope that his life and ministry and death would make a difference in somebody else's life. I wrote this down. I can only hope that when I leave this world, I will leave in such a way to influence the life of someone coming behind me, as well as forgive those who may have wronged me. Would there be a Paul without a Stephen? Stephen, the man, the message, the meeting. I hope what Charlie Kirk's wife said is true. She said, you think you've silenced him, but you've unleashed a firestorm. I hope the men of God that pastor churches in this land will grow a spine and stand for what's right and stand against what's wrong. I've been saying for years the problems in our nation do not lie at the steps of the White House. They lie at the steps of God's house. We've rolled over and played dead while the world has run over the truth. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the word of God. I pray now, Lord, it would find a lodging place in our hearts. I pray, God, that we wouldn't, Lord, resist the workings of the Spirit of God, but Lord, we would submit our hearts unto Thee this day. In this invitation, I'm going to go down and stand in front of the communion table. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'd love for you just to come. Let me take my Bible and pray with you. I'd love for God's people to consider coming and praying for our nation. Coming and praying for your pastor. Coming and praying for our young people. Praying for revival in our land, that God would stir in hearts and lives. We could see a move, not of man, but a move of God. Father, help us, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name.